I think that the weighted blanket is equivalent to melatonin.
Really?
Yeah, they say that it will make you relax that much to wear a weighted blanket while you're sleeping.
But does it make you super hot? Because I hate being super hot at night.
Yeah, that's true.
So
one
hot.
Leg out. One leg out, one leg in. That's my trick.
Was that your impression of me just now?
Mm-mm.
Yes, it was.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's what I say in the middle of the night when I'm sleeping and I'm hot. I'm so hot.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, like irritated, not anybody else's fault. And someone else needs to get up and turn on the fan. All the things. I have a cold, you guys.
I am very comfortable right now. I wore sweatpants over here today.
You did. I wanted to be comfortable and didn't wear sweatpants, but I wanted to wear sweatpants. I did wear sweatpants in yesterday's mini blonde on brunette.
You had sweatpants
episode.
On?
I had sweatpants and a button-up shirt. Like, that's just what I'm rocking right now.
I've got sweatpants on and like a nice top.
You do.
Because we filmed today too.
You do.
I have shorts on,
uh-huh.
a t-shirt,
uh-huh.
and two knee braces.
What's wrong with your knees? You fall?
I don't know.
Did you go boom?
The weather's changing.
My knees.
Mm-hmm. Or it's going to rain.
One hurts more than the other, but I'll be okay. I don't like to complain.
My grandma, hopefully, whenever her bags under her eyes got bad, she'd say, it's going to rain. I don't know what that means, but that's what she would say.
She'd get bags under her eyes?
Horrible bags under her eyes.
Like it was noticeable even to you?
Yeah, like some Louis Vuitton shit. Like big old bags. Big old bags.
Let's do this.
What? Damn, that sounds good today, doesn't it, huh? But you can't be frightened when it comes to this.
Sounds really good now.
Welcome back to the Chick McGee Show. That's Caitlin, that's Jess. I'm Chick McGee, hi. That's way too loud, isn't it? Why is that so fucking loud?
Back here. Go back here. There you go. There you go. That's better. How about you go in the driveway and do that?
Ain't got no dough. A lesser person would be insulted. It's just kind of blah. Isn't it blah today? I feel blah. You feel blah? I feel a little blah.
I don't, but I'm drunk, so.
Well, that would explain a lot. Got all sorts of things coming up today on the show, including I gotta come up with a name. Caitlin's
Song of the Week.
Kicks. Caitlin's Song of the Week is yeah.
Let's just do that.
Song of the Week is kind of bland. A song that's
a little bit.
Of the week. Caitlin's
Hip Hop Corner.
She said she was gonna do.
I got a throwback today.
She's got a throwback today.
You got a throwback today. Yeah. I love a throwback. If it's a throwback for you, then it means like when I was in college. Probably.
There you go. No. Actually, I have no idea when the song actually came out. I have an idea.
Okay.
But I could be way off on this.
Okay.
Have we talked about the guy who was the choreographer for MC Hammer as a football coach? Have we talked about that?
You
on
tweeted
here?
It, but we can talk about
oh,
it on
my
here.
God,
it was great.
Wonderful.
It was great.
None of the players believe that he used to
be a backup dancer,
dancer
for
with
MC
Hammer.
Hammer.
And not only was he a backup dancer, he was choreographer and was on, I mean, he came up with all that stuff.
Yeah.
The typewriter dance that, remember, I guess that's what they called MC Hammer's dance, right?
We just called it the Hammer Dance.
Hammer Dance?
MC Hammer Dance. Yeah, where he'd like back and forth, yeah, with those goofy
Honestly,
pants.
That makes more sense as a typewriter, though.
It does.
That's what we always called it. Have you not seen the video?
I've seen the video, but I didn't know the whole backstory.
So he was the choreographer, traveled with Hammer, and now he is a high school football coach, correct?
College.
Oh, college.
San
Luis Obispo?
Could be.
Oh, we used to travel there for the comedy tour.
Yes,
I don't even know what that place is.
It's in California.
I mean, that sounds like a very California place.
It is.
I could have probably guessed that.
It's a very California. I feel like when we went there, there was a beautiful spa in our hotel, and I was like, that's what I'm gonna do today. And I did.
We're chilling.
Yeah.
Where was that?
San Luis Obispo.
San Jose State University football coach Alonzo Carter.
Not even close.
Not even close.
You're just remembering the spa, I think.
I think it is.
That wasn't the
No, that was a different place.
That
but
was
yes.
a casino, yeah. We got the massages. Those were good.
That was a different place.
That was good.
It was. Okay. So Caitlin and I just recorded a Blonde on Brunette.
How'd that go?
It was good. We got like 3 episodes in one, actually.
I think we did.
How many?
We're gonna do a new story time feature on Blonde on Brunette.
It sounds like a nut story is what you wanted to say there.
That's a completely different segment, but we can do those too.
Is there a...
You pouring that 2-liter directly on top of that board was very stressful for me.
Uh-huh.
I've been doing this a long time.
I see that.
And he's been spilling things for a long time, if we can be clear. Like, he does it. He's not a professional. You know what? I take that back. If
you
he's
know,
a professional...
of all the things you've said that hurt my feelings...
Really?
You being a professional pourer was the one that sent it over the edge?
He is.
She said, I'm clumsy. And I never thought of myself as being clumsy, but I think I am clumsy.
Clumsy as fuck.
Clumsy. Really? It's a wonder I get up and make it to work every day.
That's why I was like, how are you not covered in bruises?
Do you drop things, run into things?
It's not like clumsy. It's actually, it's not clumsy. It's careless.
That's it. That's the word. It wasn't clumsy. It was careless.
When
That's
he's
right.
clumsy, it's kind of endearing. But when he's careless... I want to tear my fucking hair out.
I think, is that a man thing?
I think it is.
Okay. Well,
I just hung a TV in the bar.
Looks amazing.
It looks amazing, but I had to.
I can't imagine what it took and all the sweat that was put into
it. I sweat a lot, and I had to.
And lots of heavy sighing. Do a sigh. Do a sigh for us. And then lots of grunting. Give us a good grunt.
That sigh that you just did.
It's extra.
Do you sigh like that, like, when people aren't around?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Matt all the time gets on me. And he's like, why are you sighing? Why are you upset? And I'm like, I'm not even upset about anything. I'm just a sigher in general.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter.
I believe that. I had to mentally, in my brain, say, all right, slow down.
Yeah.
Have a seat.
Yeah.
While I was hanging that. Because that might be the best one I've ever... done, and it took me the least amount of time.
And you're and celebrating you and hanging television.
Yes, let's celebrate me.
There were no extra holes in the wall.
No.
Nope.
Not even a dent in the drywall.
Nope.
Like, everything looks great.
Even the cords coming out of the bottom were covered by something.
Yeah. Yep.
Something was placed in front of it.
I got a little something down there on purpose.
But, yeah,
I'm going to put a little white...
But he puts like an outlet cover that's four wires.
And wires come out of it.
Yeah, he's really good at it.
Aren't you really good at at toilets?
I can replace. I can take out and replace any toilet in 30 minutes.
But he also...
If I take my time.
Yeah, and he just does it to do it because he doesn't like to have a transaction on a previously owned toilet.
So when you moved into this house, did you get three new toilets?
I did not. And
but
I don't
these toilets
why.
Are really clean.
These toilets
are crazy clean, and it didn't look like anyone had ever used them before.
Yeah.
Well, but
especially the one in my bedroom.
Yeah.
I mean, the bathroom.
And it's a good
bedroom.
Height for you.
It's a real nice height. It's a real nice height.
You know how I know it's a good height for you? Because I can't touch the floor.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
On all of the toilets in this house?
No, just that one.
Just this one?
Mm-hmm. Cannot sit on the floor on that toilet. Or my feet don't touch.
That must be a special one.
I dangle.
A special
that's
toilet.
Tall.
But there's two toilets. That's the thing. Well, is now, that the people that lived here previously was
someone from the Pacific Rim.
Yeah, a white American male, and what I assume
his Asian wife,
an Asian American wife. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so or not. I mean, just Asian. I'm not sure if she was born here, but I feel like he was a military guy, and they met, and then that's what happened. This house is insanely clean.
Insane.
Yeah, for being built in 1968. Yes.
He said that to me last week.
You would never
I couldn't
know.
Believe it. Mm-mm. The only thing that gives it away is the doorbell cover.
She's right on that. Because you guys were switching your... I can do... Well, what's Bill Murray say in Groundhog Day? Maybe God's not God. Maybe he's just been alive for so long, he's just found out everything. And that's kind of the way I am on home improvement stuff. I can...
If he messes it up, he can fix it quickly.
I can got to the point where if I wanted to hang a new door in that closet and I cracked the molding around the door trying to put a new door in, I could fix the door and the molding and it would be fine.
Because you've just messed up so
many times.
So I've
messed
up
so many times.
That, like, now you know all the tricks.
Yeah, well, that's true. With when I hung the TV, that was the...
That TV's a lot lower than I anticipated.
You think?
Yes.
But it's right in the middle of the wall.
But if you're sitting
on the couch.
Is it on an arm? Does it pivot? Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's on, it goes, it leans out from the wall a little bit if you want. But
I didn't know if you put it on a pivot so you could turn it towards the bar.
No. People aren't.
Those are things I would do, but, you know.
Well, he'll probably put a TV behind the bar so that when you sit at the bar.
If we're being serious, that's what's going to happen next. He's going to put. Yeah. But you know what? He wanted to put that TV behind the bar. He said, but I don't want to mess up Blonde on Brunette.
That's really sweet.
So I thought he's thinking about putting one in the corner where the Indian is.
That's perfect.
Then we could never see it.
My next one, I'm going to hang a TV in my bedroom.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that one looks too nice in there.
It looks great in there.
Yeah.
And that.
We also need to. I don't know what we're going to use this monitor for.
I don't even know.
We need
know
to put it up here.
I don't even know how to plug that damn thing in. There's
we,
no.
We actually.
Input.
Yeah, there is.
Is it like a 14 volt or something? What the hell is that thing?
But what we could do is that we get the input for your computer and plug it into that. So basically your laptop is the hard drive and this white is the monitor, and then you would just be able to see that. Don't fucking laugh at me.
No, you're just talking and all Caitlin's just shaking her
head.
But
she agrees.
Mm-hmm. Two are verbal support and nonverbal support for each other.
Absolutely.
At all times.
If we didn't love Dick as much as we do, we would be
together.
In a relationship.
Hey.
I just told her this. I go, I'm such a little lesbian. Every time she sends me Monday's mini episode and I'm like, I edit it at my house and post it, I'm just smiling at my computer screen. Like, she's so cute. I love her so much.
Which reminds me, you told me like 2 hours ago that my mini episode was up and I have still yet to post anything.
You're doing great, sweetie.
You're fine.
You're fine.
Everything's okay. Don't worry about it.
But I'm going to plug it a little bit right now. My mini episode... I go back to my roots.
That's the plug.
That's the plug. Right there. That's what we shake for the mini episodes.
Back to your root. What do you mean back to your roots?
I talked about, so you know that Jess is a little extra.
You know
Jess has got to be always a little extra.
No.
I know. Whatever it is. Whether I'm drinking or a hippie, it's always got to be more. And so this one I talk about, the first drink that I started ordering was a whiskey sour. When I turned 21, I would go out and I would order a whiskey sour.
This is a great story. The first drink I ordered
was
a 7 and 7.
Yeah.
Only because I heard the guys in Saturday Night Fever order a 7 and 7.
You didn't even know what it was.
And I didn't even know what the fuck it was. It was 7 and 7.
Yeah.
I just like the sound of it.
7
Turns
up.
Turns out it's a Seagram's and a 7 up.
And a 7 up.
It's nasty.
Nasty is it?
Nasty as fuck.
I've never had one. Maybe we should try those
either.
On there. Yeah. Mm. What was your first drink? Do you remember?
The actual first drink I ever ordered was a Long Island.
Ooh.
Because I was at Dunkirk in Bloomington.
But those don't have anything in it but liquor, right? Long Island iced teas?
No, they're
basically.
Not.
Yeah.
That's the thing. There is not tea in a Long Island iced tea.
Nope.
But there is Coke.
If you get
you get a splash of Coke at the
end. If
inch.
You get a regular one. So this is a thing that all the college kids are doing. You get a water Long Island. So it's all liquor and water, and then they just put a ton of fruit in it.
That's not terrible.
Right? And so, like, it helps you stay hydrated.
I like it. I'm
for
it.
I see.
Maybe we should do that next time.
Yeah, that actually sounds really good.
Like college drinks that are popular right now.
Do you guys have whiskey? And we don't have a 7 and 7, mate. We don't have any 7
We definitely don't have 7 and 7. I prefer 7 up to Sprite, personally.
Like, I don't. I like Sprite.
Oh, no. I need, if I'm sick like I am right now, I want chicken and stars, Campbell's soup, chicken and stars, the original, not that new star bullshit that they're trying to pull out now.
What about the ginger ale?
And 7-Up or ginger ale?
When I'm sick, 7-Up definitely.
Yeah.
Just regular. I don't drink pop often,
mm-hmm.
but when I do.
But when you do.
Bitch, that better be a McDonald's Sprite.
Ooh, okay.
I just saw a tweet somewhere that said, like, McDonald's Coke and McDonald's Sprites are crispy.
It's different.
And you drink it and you know exactly what that means. Like, mm-hmm. it crackles in your mouth. You got to give it a second. But it's so good.
Huh. Sorry. Somebody just tagged me in like a serious post on Instagram and I'm looking. Love is stronger than hate. Huh. Well, then let's talk about this. Someone said that they were at the U2 concert last night. Sorry.
Do you remember when Chick was like, I hope you guys got something because I got nothing.
I got
Jess
stuff.
Is carrying us.
I guess. Reflecting on the message and music at the U2 concert last night, U2 was in Indianapolis mm-hmm. with Beck last night at Lucas Oil. Chick had tickets. Didn't go.
I've had a bumpy weekend.
That's okay.
But
I kind of did too. Save for Friday night. I told Jess I didn't eat a meal. I just ate all day.
Just kind of grazed.
Just snacks.
Yeah, Chick did that.
And then I felt
alcohol.
Horrible.
Yeah, I did.
And then you feel horrible, I'm assuming.
And today you're just tired. And
I'm drinking again. So
yeah,
I don't know what
well, then you know what? Nothing's going to go bad. Mm-mm. I went to Kundalini yesterday and took my friend Amber. And after Kundalini, it was
Isn't it Kundalini?
For me, it's Kundalini because I have a Kundalini. I do Kundalini. Just saying.
Damn.
I know. But so we went and it's working through the 10 bodies. Like we all have 10 bodies throughout and we have to cleanse
them. I got
enough
trouble with the one I'm working with.
I know.
I can't.
We cleanse each one and to start this 10 body series in Kundalini at City Yoga, where I love to go with Diane Hancock.
Hancock County.
That's not the same, actually.
Okay.
But we started with the soul body. And so we did some cleansing and we did we did a practice and we did a meditation and we did a gong meditation. And I actually fell asleep during the gong meditation.
Best kind of meditation.
That's what they say. You're so relaxed that you fall asleep. But I was you're breathing through your nose like you're supposed to be during yoga. And I went, like exhaled through my mouth and I was like, oh shit, I fell asleep. And that's how I wake myself up is when I like make that blow noise with my mouth and I'm like, okay, I'm awake now. But after Kundalini and the soul body cleansing that I was supposed to be doing, I was in a foul mood. I came home and was like, I don't want to deal with you shitheads. And I fell asleep on the couch for 2 hours.
That's what I do. Stress naps.
Stress naps.
You don't want to deal with anybody around you. You
and
don't want to deal
be
with
rude.
Things.
And you're not going to be rude, so you just go to sleep.
You just sleep.
You just go to sleep.
I do that almost every single day.
That's what I did. But it also takes me back to Chick got a clap back the other day or did a clap back. I don't even know.
Ooh!
Yes. So, but this guy just tagged me.
Is that the same guy?
No, this is Brent Doster.
That's the guy from Anderson. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Brent said, reflecting on Jess Hooker's words 34 minutes into the Chick McGee Show podcast reminds me, our work is not done. Today, choose love, not because it's easy, but because it's the only hope we really have. And I appreciate that I moved you enough to make you share that because we're recording today on September 11th. Mm-hmm. And it's always kind of a somber day, I guess. I feel like this is the equivalent to D-Day for my generation. I mean, obviously your generation. And
I wasn't here for D-Day.
I know you weren't
I'm
here for D-Day.
Closer than you two, certainly.
But you are closer to where there was. I mean, you guys still did. Did you do a moment of silence when you were in school? Do you remember that? Like after the fact, like when you were growing up?
No.
You didn't?
There wasn't
you didn't
anything
acknowledge
before.
It? Huh. I remember, let's all just share our 9/11 stories, I guess. I was in college and I was headed to my first class in the morning. And it was an English class.
Where they spoke English.
No, actually I tested out a freshman English and so I was
la-di-da.
I know, I'm fancy. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the only fucking thing I ever did in college that was worth anything. And we were headed to class, and the professor was late. And we were like, all right, you know, like that joke, like, he's got 5 minutes. If he's not here in 5 minutes, we all get to bounce. And it wasn't a super big class, probably because it was at 8 o'clock in the morning, or 8:30, whichever time it was. And so we're all kind of just standing there staring. We used to wear watches back in 2000. And one.
And the first plane hit the first tower at
8:45. He doesn't say anything. Yeah, he doesn't say anything. He comes. So maybe it was a 9 o'clock class. Either way, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He comes in like right before 5 minutes when we're all like, okay, we're leaving. He comes in and there's a monitor or a television in the corner and he turns it on and he sits down and he doesn't say anything. And We watched everything unfold. He didn't say anything.
He
turned on the news, and after we watched, I don't know how it played out time-wise, but we did watch a plane hit one of the towers, or we watched one of the towers fall. I don't remember exactly how it was. But after that happened, he looked at us and he said, "You're welcome to stay or you're welcome to go." And I just remember going, I got to get back to my dorm room, because at the time, my college roommate Liz had a brother that worked at the World Trade Center.
Oh my gosh.
And I knew that he worked at the World Trade Center. And so I was like, I got to get back to my room. I got to make sure she's okay. I got to make sure he's okay. And that's all I thought. But, and then I got to my room, and on my, they're called answering machines. On my answering machine, it was all lit up, like, you know, family just wanting to touch base and go, you know, I know you're in Muncie, Indiana, but I want to hear your voice. I want to know you're okay.
Yeah.
And my first message was from my Aunt Karen, and I called her and I said, "I'm okay. Are you okay?" She worked for the State Department of Health in Indianapolis. And
which at the time, anything
was a go. We were all terrified. Yeah, everybody was scared. Yeah,
everybody was terrified.
Everybody was scared. And in all actuality, she was the only person I talked to that day. And I didn't go to another class that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I stayed in my dorm, and my roommate Liz, she was, you know, she obviously was a wreck until she heard from her brother. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so he ended up being okay?
He was okay. Yeah, he was
okay.
Oh
my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, where were you, Caitlin? What were you, 8?
I was in third grade.
Third grade.
2001, okay. I was 8. I was in Mrs. Byers' class, and we just came into school just hanging out. And Mrs. Byers is talking on the phone.
Because school starts at 8:30, right?
School at LaVille starts at 8:10. So we had been in class or in school for a while.
Oh, wow,
and
okay.
Mrs. Byers gets a phone call. She's talking on the phone behind her desk. And she starts talking to us, and she's like bawling. And we're like, this is weird. Like, my teachers still don't have first names, and like, I didn't know they had actual emotions.
Sure.
Right. So she's crying. She was
isn't
like,
isn't that weird when you see a teacher not in the school? You like, see them in a grocery store? No,
and my mom's a teacher.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that's, it's still even weird for me.
Yeah.
And she said, Cody Kimball's mom just called me. That was a boy in my class. And she said, this happened. And we were like, what does that even mean? Like,
right.
I didn't even know what those words meant. Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Hunt's class next door got to watch coverage all day. We didn't get to watch anything. So we had no, like, we didn't really get it. So we came home, or I came home, and my mom kind of explained it to me, and then we tried to drive to 6 and 31 to the Arby's right there to try to get gas, and everyone was like lined up.
Yeah.
Everyone was lined up down
the
street to try to get gas. So we ended up getting some gas. People have gas cans. People have, I mean, they're trying to fill up everything. So we got that, and then we came home and like watched some of the coverage, and I still just like didn't get it.
Yeah.
Like I didn't understand why it was such a big deal. But
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that, like, there being a shortage. Was it on a Monday or a Tuesday?
It was on a Tuesday. I didn't remember.
Because you were with one of your kids and your ex-wife.
I was not on the radio that day. I had specifically taken that day off. My youngest child, Ellie, she was 7 or 8, actually, Caitlin. And she was having a very minor procedure, plastic surgery procedure, on her chin. And she was kind of really nervous about it, so we had to check in with her at, like, I don't know, 8:30. And we're, you know, as Jess said, I was there with her mom, and or however you refer to the parents when you're divorced. And, you know, we got along okay, and sort of still do. Anyway, so then the first plane hit the first tower, and I was back in the I guess operating suite or whatever, the little get ready area with a little bed and stuff, getting Ellie ready to have this procedure. And then, you know how when something like that happens, there's this almost intangible feeling that comes over a place, and it's like everyone's tense, and it's like there's a horrible tragedy, and it's almost, you can almost touch it. Well, Ellie picks up on this and thinks everybody's upset about her. So she starts crying because she's nervous about the procedure, and then...
But she's just actually picking up on the energy.
Yeah.
So then I talked to one of the nurses, because even then I was a National Treasure and everyone knew me. And so I talked to her. She goes, there's been an incident in New York City. A plane hit one of the World Trade Center buildings. Mm-hmm. And I said, really? And my ex-wife, Ellie's mom at the time, heard that and came over and said, my boyfriend is supposed to be in the World mm-hmm. Trade Center this morning for a big meeting.
Yeah.
Can you go out and look at the TV and see what's going on? So I said, sure, yeah, stay with Ellie.
And
so
she's probably eerily calm because she's just that kind of person from what you've said.
And she,
keeps it together for Ellie's sake.
But I could tell she was freaking out.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's one of those. So just as I go out through the hallway, go out into the waiting area, the second plane hits the second building. That's the first thing I see on TV. So I have to go back and tell... Yeah, she's my ex-wife, but she's the mother of my kids.
Yeah.
And
you guys have always been polite.
And she's upset that her boyfriend might...
Right.
You know, I need to tell her that her boyfriend might have been killed in the second tower or whatever. So I, you know, can I, you know, at this point, Ellie, whatever they give 7 or 8 year olds to make them...
Like a Twilight type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
but she's still like picking up on this energy. So I go, well, the one plane, one tower is smoking. And
so
then,
there were two planes. I'm not trying to be dumb, but I can't remember.
There was one plane hit one tower, and then like a half an hour later, mm-hmm. second
another
plane
hit
the second tower.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's what I told her, and she...
Oh, I bet.
Like freaked out, and there weren't cell phones in 2001 or anything. Mm-hmm. So she just had to go on.
Wait.
Turns out the boyfriend missed his flight somehow. Just
isn't
quite,
that crazy?
By accident, had missed his flight.
And there are like, I feel like there
there's
are a lot
of
stories like that where people are like, oh, I forgot something at home and turned around or whatever it is.
Do you know the actress Jamie Presley? She is from My Name Is Earl.
Elvis's.
Actually not.
Not any rich.
No, she was on that series, My Name Is Earl, for a long time.
The girl?
The blonde.
The blonde girl? Okay.
Yeah, she was supposed to be on the flight, one of the flights, whether it was at the Pentagon or the World.
Yeah.
She missed that flight, but she was supposed to be on one of those flights. And I read a story later of her recounting that story and how it shaped. I mean, it shapes the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
Like, why was I not?
Mm-hmm.
I remember it's not the same, but as a child, like you said, that the class next to you got to watch coverage.
Yeah.
When I was in kindergarten, they brought everybody I went to Lakeview Christian Academy on the west side of Indianapolis, and they brought the whole school into, like, it was basically the gymnasium / cafeteria / you know, whatever. And we were watching.
Multi-purpose room.
The multi-purpose room.
Did you guys have an AV room?
We did not. We had an AV guy. We didn't have an AV room. We just had that guy that brought the television on that cart. Yeah, we had that guy.
You had that?
Oh, yeah.
I had that when I was in school.
Yeah. I had that.
You had that? A guy on a TV on a cart?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do they do now? They just open up
your
computer?
There's a TV in every room.
Monitors in every room, yeah. And it was like it wasn't even a big television. Like, it was just like, I think there was like 2 or 3 televisions set up on those carts. And that's what was happening. But when the Challenger disaster happened, I was in kindergarten, and I remember all of us sitting there, and it was like seconds from the time that it launched. And there was a teacher that was on the Challenger when it exploded.
Crystal McAuliffe, teacher in space. It was
a
big deal.
I remember how quick the teachers and the staff and the educators were trying to turn off the televisions because all of us children in that school just saw the Challenger explosion
just
happen.
Blow up.
Yeah, I think I was 1986.
I want to say 87.
86, 87, somewhere around there. But I was in kindergarten when it happened. And I was just like we were, like, all of us kids didn't even know what, like, it was television, so a part of us probably thought it wasn't real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, you don't get it.
Yeah, so I wonder how many of us that shaped or affected and watching, like, we watched it as much in real time as that was back then. Within seconds, probably, maybe minutes. I don't know what the delay
remember
was back
then. There was that famous, what is it? Forward, rotate and forward thruster upper. There's some famous...
Like that what
last,
they said. Yeah.
The last thing they did before it exploded.
Yeah, but I remember when they took off and all of us are clapping and losing our minds. And then within seconds, I think that it was a minute or two from takeoff, it just fucking exploded.
And then they had that horrible, sad of her mom and dad looking up and, you know,
and seeing.
It's like,
and the entire crew died. Yeah.
And
I don't know how many people were on it.
The person who was running the radio for Mission Control were closely looking at the situation.
And trying to remain calm, knowing that it's over. Yeah.
And it's just you forget.
But it was, she was an elementary school teacher.
You forget that. Damn. You know, that's like a death-defying act. That's a giant stunt on top of a however many stories of explosive. And it could just, you know, and that's what it did. It was, but yeah, there's that, her mom and dad are looking up and,
I've only ever seen footage like of it in the sky. Like I've never seen like a full play by play of like what it looked like when it was actually on TV. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like a full.
Well, at that time though, it had gotten so commonplace with the shuttle going up and landing and coming back and going, it was just taken for granted. And I think that was the first, but it was pretty close to one of the first launches that used to be on the major networks because it was a big deal when it would, you know, anything would take off from here and go into outer space.
Yeah.
The television networks would cover it. But, well, this one was just covered by CNN, which has just started at that. And nobody gave it a second thought. It's like, oh, well, yeah, another rocket. And
It was January 28th, 1986.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Krista McAuliffe. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yep.
73 seconds after takeoff.
Go for throttle up, I think is the the magic phrase.
I bet that is. Yeah, that
go
was,
for throttle up, and then you see it rotating a little bit, and then it explodes.
Yikes.
Does anybody know, like, why did that happen?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, there was speculation about it was abnormally cold that morning at the launch pad, and some of the I remember the term O-rings was thrown around, but then I'm one of the first. I think it's interesting, and I play this character on the radio show that, oh yeah, the moon's hollow and we didn't go to the moon and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and I really just find it fascinating that, you know, all the scenarios and so evidently this was some sort of sinister plot to you know, but people actually believe that. But people really died, and it's the same thing with the Trade Center. I mean, well, that's a government.
Over 3,000 people died. Yeah. Over 3,000 people.
I can't really get down.
And here's the thing: it obviously affected me as a citizen of the United States. It did not affect me personally.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So. I don't think I have a right to speak on what my theory is because I didn't lose anybody.
No,
other than other American citizens, I didn't lose anybody. So as a patriot, it's devastating.
Yeah.
However it happened, whoever knew about it, it's devastating. Mm-hmm. That's not important. I know that over 3,000 people lost their lives that day. Other Americans, not Americans, there were people on those flights that weren't U.S. citizens. However it happened, it is devastating, and it's not important how it happened. Mm-hmm. But the people that knew about it or planned it or had anything to do with it will see their day.
Yeah.
That's all I can say about that. It's at this point, this far out, like, who are we going after? What good is it going to do? I'm being serious.
I didn't really know where you were going there for a second, but I'm back. I'm here.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I think it's a natural human emotion to want some sort of
someone to pay.
Closure, someone, somebody's
that's
fault.
What I'm saying. Yeah, if I would have lost someone close to me in that, yes, to this day, I would go, I need to fucking know who's responsible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I get that. But as a citizen, like, I'm just still mourning that such a tragedy happened.
Absolutely.
You have quite the cold.
I do. I'm sorry, guys. I'm stuffy. And actually, they say starve a cold. And I'm just, they say starve a cold and feed a fever.
I thought it was feed a cold, starve a fever.
I thought it was backwards. If not, I have massively messed up.
How do you feed a fever?
Yeah, like soup and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. Like soup and stuff.
You know, Big Macs.
Big Macs, which I'm not.
A double cheese at Wendy's.
Really? When I had strep throat back when I was a kid, all the time. I don't know why I still have tonsils.
Really?
Do you still have your tonsils?
Yes, and I wish that I didn't.
I do.
Yours is big as.
I have tonsils. I don't have adenoids.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means. But at some point, I was such a terrible snorer as a child that they removed my adenoids and left my tonsils.
Why would they leave them?
I don't know. I appreciate it.
I wish
it.
I didn't.
Yeah. I still snore, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, I think I had 4 or 5 sets of tubes in my ears. Terrible, terrible ear infections growing up.
No, that's a no for me.
And at one point, they took out my adenoids during the same
surgery.
No,
that's a no.
Yeah.
My mom said, looking back on it, she said, I wish I would have taken your tonsils out when you were a kid. Yeah. But I would always want Subway. I would want a 6-inch Subway sandwich when I have strep throat. How do you even swallow that?
Just the 6? You went with the 6, huh?
Well, I was like a kid. And I still, to this day, if I'm really, really sick, Subway sounds so good to me. I have no idea why.
When I'm hungover.
Subway?
Subway?
Oh, God damn, I broke the mic.
Really? I like the seafood salad at Subway.
Really?
They don't even call it.
It's a seafood surprise.
It used to be crab something.
And crab sensation.
Crab sensation. Yeah. Now it's seafood salad because none of that is actually from the sea.
I can eat, I don't know what it is about me, but I can, that seafood salad, you get in there like mustard, potato salad, macaroni salad. There's seafood salad.
It's not called seafood salad. What is it called?
Crab salad.
Crab salad.
Maybe it is crab salad. It's all imitation
crab.
Maybe
that's why I'm crabby. I've had too much crab salad. I could eat a pound. I could eat the whole tub.
I do like that on Triscuits. I'm not going to lie.
Ooh.
I don't like
tuna fish salad. Tuna salad.
Okay.
I was going to get there eventually.
I have a question. Keep going.
On green bell peppers.
Ooh.
Fire.
Huh. I'm for that.
But yes, on Triscuits or Wheat Thins or whatever, too.
Do you make your own tuna salad or do you get it from the grocery?
I buy the packet of 70-calorie tuna.
Okay.
And I put mayonnaise and salt and pepper in it.
I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
That's how I make it.
I didn't even know you could make tuna salad at home.
He thought that you had to get it from the deli. My tuna salad recipe is, which I don't use tuna anymore, so don't judge. I just substitute chickpeas, which it's fine. It's the same, but I'm going to tell you my tuna salad.
Chickpeas.
It's all for chick. So I actually end up
using... My real name's Garbanzo. Go ahead.
Yeah, very funny. tuna. Yeah, tuna and water.
Yeah.
Which if we're going to reference Blonde on Brunette...
Oh, that tuna shot? What was that?
It's called the Hot Mexican Hooker. And
it was nasty.
Yeah. So I made it. And it was tequila, Tabasco, and tuna water. That was the shot I did.
Where did you get that idea?
I found it. Like, I was searching deep in the internet for...
On the dark web.
I know, on the dark web. I was. What was that website that we used to look at when people would die? What was that?
What?
Do you remember that?
Chat Roulette?
No.
Wasn't Die in the title?
No. But it was like people would commit suicide and they would record it and then they would put it online. What was that called?
You could get to that on the regular web?
Absolutely. In the 90s, you could.
No. Yes.
They have that shit on the deep web now.
Nope. What was that called?
Dude, that wasn't me.
We've talked about this,
though.
That
was not me, dude.
It's not like Ways to Die,
but
it's
pretty
close.
Somebody else. I could not know.
No. It was,
and you would watch it?
No, I wouldn't, but I was terrified. Death websites from the 90s.
Don't look that up. Now you're on a list, and now you're, okay.
Now you're going to get to the dark web, deep web, whatever it's
called. Is that a real thing?
Yes. Are you guys going to spend?
Yes, it is.
Are you looking forward to the new iPhone? And if you are looking forward to it, will you pay the $1,000?
No.
I have a 7 right now that I'm totally comfortable with, and the camera is fire. I feel like those are all things Caitlin would have said. But,
you know me, I always have to have the newest, and I'm not excited about the new iPhone at all. I can't see.
You do. Until, like, I'm Kardashian rich, I'll just keep my phone until
it doesn't work. I can't see how much better the phone can be than how it is now.
You guys, what was...
I don't want to talk about this.
Okay, 12 dead websites that used to be huge. Here we are. Dig, MySpace.
Dig with 2 G's.
These are
MySpace, yeah.
Like, they're not death websites. They're just dead because they're not
dead.
Exist anymore.
MySpace. Oh my gosh, what was that called?
Do we want to talk about how the guy got me so upset that I actually responded to somebody on Twitter, something I never said I'd do, and I hadn't before that time on Friday.
Okay, so
I'd never done anything like that.
I really don't remember what I said because I got
I
got really caught up in the fact here. I want to just go back for just a split second about what we were talking about. I don't know how it started, but I was sharing a very personal moment of my brother and his partner and their journey. They've fallen in love and they're having a child. My brother is a white male American and she is an African American woman. My brother's from the Midwest. She's from the Deep South. Like, it's as much as I didn't understand the clash in cultures, there is one. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand it. I didn't know that there was that big of a difference from the Midwest to Southern Georgia. I didn't know. Indianapolis, Southern Georgia. Had no idea. So I was sharing that there are very real experiences that my biracial niece is going to have to go through.
And they're going to have a baby.
They're having a baby. She's due in October. And just to acknowledge that these are two different families that have come together from two different places in our country and experienced different lives growing up, and now they're going to have a child with two very different parents from two very different backgrounds. And as much as I don't realize that the Midwest is much more progressed than the Deep South.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize
Especially
Indianapolis.
We're like South Bend are like our own little pockets. South Bend has a gay 30-year-old mayor, honey.
Yes. Hi. Thank you. Yeah. Shout out to him. And that's what I'm saying is that I didn't realize that because I am a white female in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. I have no idea outside of men on construction sites and gentlemen in gas station parking lots.
Damn!
Yelling inappropriate things to me. I have not experienced that.
Yeah.
Okay? So all I said was that my biracial niece is going to experience hate and love. She's going to experience things that my brother hasn't experienced, that his wife hasn't experienced, that I haven't experienced, things that I will never understand. And I hope that our country continues to progress in a positive way to where she doesn't have to experience these things. That's all I said. And somebody turned it into a political rant. I didn't mean it for it to be that way.
Of course not.
It is a social issue. Race is a social issue. And if you make it a political issue, then in my opinion, you have race issues.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a racist. That's what I'm saying. If you're making a social issue,
you might be a racist.
You might be a racist if Jeff Foxworthy edition. I'm just saying that if you made what I said about my biracial niece political, then maybe you're the same person that's defending what happened in Charlottesville. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe.
That's all
now,
I'm saying.
Now, see, what she said
so maybe,
was, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe you need to check yourself. Maybe you need to figure out where you come from. Maybe you need to question what you think is black and white. I'm not making it political. You're making it political.
A couple of people reminded me of what our friend Jimmy Pardo has said on his podcast, because they have... you know me, and I'm all about kindness and love, and let's all be happy. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to. I hate confrontations.
Unless
I'm directly involved.
No,
my
you know
point
what?
Is.
No, your confrontations are personal. They don't have anything to do with race.
And personal and emotional.
Yeah.
And
yes.
But when that guy came.
Hashtag Jess on attack.
No.
Hashtag Jess on attack.
No need for a political rant. You guys are better than that. First of all.
I thought you guys were better than that.
We're not better than that. Okay. Secondly. No, I mean, this is... And Jimmy told one of his... Because they got tired of them... they're very much in the Clinton camp. Hillary Clinton. They're very much against Donald Trump. Whatever they want to do. It's fine with me. Either way.
Yeah.
But Jimmy said, not only is there the door, that's the door, I insist you use it.
Yeah.
And I didn't go that far, but I mean...
If you don't agree...
I refuse to use this and have to play a character and hide my views and not have this... We started this podcast so we could... I could
be honest,
not be crazy, and not be this stupid idiot who blows guys at the bus station, which doesn't happen. And that was a character.
I promise you, he does not blow guys at the bus station.
I'd have so much money if I was gay. My point is
that was not what I said.
This is me. This is not a character. If I didn't do this podcast, I don't know what I'd do to try to be real and honest, to do something creative that I believe in. Not that I don't believe in the big show. I have fun there. It's great.
It's just but a different outlet.
That's a very different me than the me you're going to get on the podcast. So if he's upset about it, we give him his money back for what he paid for the show.
$0.
$0, hon.
Huh? But it's kind of, I mean, and there's kind of two sides to it, because I think some people look at it and say, well, you guys won't let anybody say bad things about you. And that's not true at all. Like, if you have a problem with something on the show, we're open to discussion all the time, especially Jess and I. Like, we love hearing from people, even if you disagree with us. That's why we talk about things, because then you can, like, have a discussion and disagree about things and come to a final conclusion. Mm-hmm. So that's not it at all. But, like, out of, what, 300 episodes that you guys have done, this is really the only one where anything like that gets brought up. I mean, I think you guys have a pretty good track record.
And and that's the thing, is that if someone came in here and said, I voted for Trump, or I voted for both the Bushes, or I voted for Reagan, whatever, I would like to be clear in the fact that both Bushes were compassionate people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Reagan was compassionate.
Yeah.
They had compassion. Mm-hmm. Their hope for immigrants to come into this country and to work towards being Americans and to be citizens that contributed to the American dream. That's what the Bushes believed in. That's what Reagan believed in. And actually, those are the only presidents I can speak of, because they're the only ones that have been around since I was born. That's why I'm referencing them. But I would just like to say they had compassion. Mm-hmm. I vote for leaders with compassion. That's all I'm saying. I need a compassionate leader. I need a leader that has a heart. So if you think that I'm trying to take away your guns or your First Amendment rights, or whether you believe in segregation, you're fucking wrong. A. There shouldn't be segregation. I don't believe in that. Do I think you have the right to bear arms? Abso-fucking-lutely. I am getting ready to take a class on how to deal with a gun. I don't know, so I should be educated. Yeah. That's what I'm about. I'm about compassion and education. And if you're only voting because that's the way your daddy voted, you're fucking wrong.
I will shoot
you. Are wrong. Exactly. You're wrong.
Well, you and
educate
I even
yourself.
Charlie horse.
Uh-oh. Caitlin got a Charlie horse.
Time out for Charlie horse.
Time out for Charlie horse.
Oh, you know what? Those are the worst. Those will wreck. That'll wreck the moment. Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Is it in your foot or your leg? Where
no,
are you?
Behind my thigh.
No,
my
I
hamstring.
Can't. I can't.
I'm really sorry that I just
Work
ruined
it out.
That moment for
Work
you.
It out. You did not ruin anything. You probably did the right thing.
I got the Charlie horse.
I used to get all... Long time ago on the radio, I said the only problem, I say a lot of stuff, okay? And to be quite honest, I don't, you know this, I don't remember 90% of what I say. It just happens. But I do remember one year I said, you know what the problem with the Olympics are? Foreigners. That's a problem. They shouldn't let the foreigners compete, which is silly. And
but
I say that.
Great, that's the great thing about you, babe, is that you
I
will
say
that knowing that you're being the exact fucking
show
opposite.
How silly that statement is.
Yeah. That doesn't make
and
any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
It wouldn't be the Olympics.
And I used to say, which someone asked me to stop saying this, I don't know why, I said, if you're not 98% Caucasian, you shouldn't be in this country.
Did you say that?
You said that.
And did I tell you
to
stop?
No, it wasn't you.
Who was it?
Someone who took me seriously, who sits right there in the room. And I tried to tell him, I said, Tom.
Of all the things, that's what he decided to correct
but
you
point,
on?
No, but my point was, there's no such thing as 98% Caucasian. Okay, honey?
Have we learned
it's
that?
It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah. Actually, Caitlin and I would like to do the DNA send away
swab. I
want to
do that.
Yeah, we
that.
Should do that for here.
Yeah, we got to swab
How
you.
Much of a Polack are you?
Mm.
97%.
No, I have no idea. Have you guys done, so I know Chick's not on Facebook, Kate is, but have you done the thing where they scan your face and tell you?
Yeah, that was all fucked up.
Did you see what mine said?
That looks like
you a Native American? I was like 70% Native American, which if I am, oh, the curveball that I'm about to throw my family. Yeah. Yeah, it was nuts. Which, do you guys feel like I look Native American?
You look like a lot of things.
Yeah. I do. Yeah. I am one of those people that if I were an actress, they would cast me as Italian, Latino, Native American,
Asian,
Latin. They would do all the things.
Yeah.
I said Latino twice, didn't I? Sorry, guys.
Latin and Latino. You'd be Latina, but it's okay.
Latina.
We knew what you were talking about.
Yes, I know the gender specificities to the language.
Yedza went great, sweetie.
You guys, let's take a break because we got heated. And I just want you to know, for the record, if you tell me not to talk about something, I'm a child and I'm going to talk about it more.
She's going to double the fuck down.
I'm going to double it down.
Contrary. That's the title of this week's episode.
If you guys would like to know the thousands and thousands of downloads that we have and one douchebag made a comment, so... We're going to keep talking about it.
But you know, then he came back at me and he said, boy, oh boy.
He did? I didn't see that.
No, no. He said, I compliment you over and over again and I don't get any response. And I criticize one time and everybody jumps down my throat. Oh, so either you're a troller, you're trolling, or you want some sort of reaction is what you want.
Also, you follow Pokemon, so we're done with you.
Yeah, he does, actually. Pokemon and
that's all. That don't say the other one. It's not even worth mentioning. No.
Girls with asses. Did you see that?
Girls with asses.
Oh yeah.
Yo,
maybe that's why he follows us.
Do you ever
girls
see
with big ass cheek?
That's accurate.
Maybe we should call this ass cheeks, ass cheek, instead of the Chick McGee show.
I feel like that is a daydream of yours.
I'm an ass.
Oh wait, what are we calling it?
Ass cheek to ass cheek.
All the ass cheek. He's an ass, and then we have the ass. I feel like we're diving into a daydream that he has that maybe we don't want
to
do.
That's not
right
a daydream.
No, it's going to be a reality. Is that what you're saying?
He's manifesting it.
Yes, manifest that daydream. Do you want to take a break?
That would not be... Okay,
because I have a crazy story that I have to tell you guys.
About karaoke?
About karaoke.
I can't
wait.
We'll come back.
Oh, you won an award, didn't you?
Oh, honey. Don't give it away.
A major award. We'll be right back on Podcast One with the Chick McGee Show. Hey, Chick here for Podcast One, and I want to tell you about the survey that they've started. It helps the Chick McGee Show stay free to download with few ads. Responses that you provide as Chick McGee Show fans help align the appropriate advertisers for the Chick McGee Show. The survey is short, completely anonymous, takes no more than, I'm going to say, 5 minutes. Two easy ways to begin the survey. Go to podcastone.com/mysurvey or podcastone.com and click on the survey banner. Got that? If you filled a survey out in the past, we thank you, but we still need you to do it again. Go back, Jack. Do it again. All of us at the Chick McGee Show appreciate it, and also Podcast One thanks you, and you're doing everybody a huge favor by filling out the survey because, as we all know, when the Chick McGee Show succeeds, we all win a little bit. And thank you for supporting. Haven't you thought, I need to help those people in some way? How can I help the people on the Chick McGee Show? Well, this is it. Supporting the Chick McGee Show, and thank you for taking time to complete the survey. Go to podcastone.com/mysurvey or podcastone.com and click on the survey banner. That's all there is to it. And I thank you. This is the commercial every week that it gets me hungry every time I do it. It's Blue Apron. You know Blue Apron. You've heard. It's food to your door. Not just any food. Food you can cook with the family. Gourmet type stuff that is absolutely foolproof. Let's put it this way. I've done it. I know. A couple nights ago, we had the skillet vegetable chili with the cornmeal and the cheddar drop biscuits. Yeah, I cooked that in my kitchen. I couldn't believe it. And then we had the garlic butter shrimp and corn with green bean salad and roasted purple tomatoes. I couldn't believe it. All of it so delicious. And I did it myself with some help of the lady dogs. And we all know they have the dew claw. They don't even have the opposable thumb. But they were in there helping because they liked it. It brought our family closer together. How do I sign up for Blue Apron, Chick? I hear you saying, well, here's the important part for the Chick McGee Show. If you remember the secret code, McGee, M-C-G-E-E, you get your first three meals free with free shipping. Sign up, enter the code McGee, that's blueapron.com/McGee. First three meals free with free shipping. Try it for free. That's blueapron.com/McGee. It's delicious, and it's Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Okay, let's get right back at it. It's time for part two of the Chick McGee Show on Podcast One. Hey, welcome back. Hi, how are you?
Great.
Have you ever lost something in your house and you know it's there, but you can't fucking find it? Has that ever happened to you?
Well, are you asking, or is this a...
This is something happening to me right now.
Okay. You know what? If you tell me what it is, I will go to the vicinity in which it is lost, and I'll tell you where it is.
I can't remember where I lost it.
No, I know you can't, but if you tell me what it is, we will go to the room or the corner or somewhere.
Well, there's
you
only...
You guys laugh, but I'm serious. I have this gift where I can
go
and know.
There's only two or three places it could be in the house.
Don't tell me.
I
but
got
what are
this,
we looking for? Just tell me what you're looking
well,
for.
Well, first of all, I'm looking for my black dress pants.
Okay.
Black. They're okay. On a hanger.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I don't see them on a hanger.
Yes,
right
Kumquat. They're on a hanger.
That was a not nice name.
Sounded nice, though.
It was kind of cute. I
you
liked
think
it.
So?
Kumquat.
My little kumquat.
My little kumquat.
And I can't, so now I have to order.
No, you don't.
Pants on the web.
No, you don't.
But as Caitlin said, why don't you go to a store and buy them?
Because.
And that's horse and buggy thinking. And I got this really great Redskins jacket last week. I wore it for 2 days.
Uh-huh.
I put it away, and now it's gone.
No, it's not gone. I'll find it.
And
I'll find
one of
all
the,
these things.
One of the dogs has it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say one of the dogs is missing, too.
Did you know?
That's a whole other thing.
Oh, my God. I lose my mind. And you don't tell Monkey, but I have a favorite.
I would, too.
And it's Ruby.
Yeah. That's everybody's favorite.
I could have seen that coming. Honestly, even though Monkey attacked Kobe when we were over here a couple weeks ago.
Okay, I think Kobe attacked Monkey.
That's not how it happened at all. I low-key love Monkey because I have been wanting a lap dog my entire life. Kobe refuses. He doesn't sit on my lap. He doesn't lay on me.
He doesn't.
Kobe weighs, what, 35 pounds, maybe?
35 pounds. Like 28 pounds, actually, when he's real fat, like 31.
Where the hell did my drink go?
Did you take it to the bathroom?
Did you go to the bathroom?
I gotta go get a drink.
Don't
you
step.
Guys go ahead. Keep
don't
talking.
Step on my dog.
So do we take over?
Huh?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Just stay silent.
Where would you be if you were that Redskins jacket? It's either in my bedroom.
I'll find it.
In that closet.
What color is it?
Like a dark gray.
I was just getting ready to say gray.
No, you weren't.
I really was.
Was he really?
I was really. I was really going to say it.
Can you really do that?
Yes.
Sarah Hawking can do that.
I didn't know I could do it until I kept losing things. And then I would go to the same corner of my room and then realize that it was like under my nightstand or in a bag that I hadn't used that had been sitting by the window or just little things like that. And I don't. Instead of like not saying it out loud, this is the first time I'm saying it out loud. I have it and I can do it.
Yeah.
And I just need to practice it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm not. But I also, I want to be very honest, like on a girl level.
Yeah.
Guys are fucking terrible at stuff like this. Like it could be literally
right
in their
front
face
of them.
And they would not see it.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
Last week, right here.
So he's going to think I'm magic.
It's just an easy
He's
spot
just
to
oblivious.
Find.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand.
Actually.
I understand that.
Actually.
Do you have this friend in your life? I think everyone does.
Uh-huh.
That they've been your friend forever.
Forever.
And everything is real light and fun and goofy and
Never
silly.
Never had an argument.
Never had an argument. With...
Sure.
But then when something serious happens in their life, they get upset and... So you get upset partially because you're upset about the same thing, but mostly because you've never seen them upset before.
And you don't know how to respond to their upsetness?
Or
because you want to be as upset with them because
no,
they're hurt?
No, that's...
Can you say out loud what this is about?
That's justifiable. My best friend in the world, his mom died.
Oh, okay.
And I'm as upset that she's dead.
Yeah.
And I'm upset that he's upset because he never gets upset about anything. And he certainly has things to get upset about in his life.
Yeah.
And I've never really seen him upset. And I mean, I can get a text from him and tell that he's...
Is his dad alive?
No.
No. His dad died...
Oh, gosh.
Long time ago?
I want to say in the 80s, early 80s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And his mom just celebrated her 100th birthday.
Right. Yeah, and she was 100 years away. Old. She was born in 1917, 6 years after the Titanic sank. She was born.
6 years
she
after.
She lived through, like,
all the things.
The end of the Industrial Revolution yeah. and, like, through the Roaring 20s and, like, also the Great Depression and World War One and World War II and Vietnam and, like, everything else.
Uh-huh. She lived That's through. No, no. Crazy. This machine is okay to get on, and you're going to fly in the air and
get
out and at another destination.
Wow.
I feel really bad. My grandma is going through that right now. She has an iPhone. And she called me the other day and she said it won't turn on and she's just lost. Yeah. She's just lost. So I couldn't even imagine somebody being 100 years old.
Yeah.
100 years ago.
Yeah.
She had
but you know
my
what?
Friend when she was 42. And that was back in 58 when.
42 years
didn't
old?
They, yeah. Back in the 50s and 60s, didn't they like put women to sleep when they were having babies? Like you would just like pass out and then wake up and there'd be a kid.
Have I
and their
told
husbands
this,
were at work.
Have I told this story on the
I don't know. Go ahead.
One of the versions of the podcast.
Is this about when your oldest was born?
No, my well, I was eating a hot dog.
Like as it happened?
No, I was down in the cafeteria. They said it was okay to go get a hot dog and.
But you weren't going to be in there with her when she was born?
I was told not to be.
That's what I'm curious. I want to ask my dad if he was allowed to be in there when I was born. I don't.
My
know.
Dad was in with my brother and I because it was. I think it was me. He was going to the bathroom, and my grandma Faust goes, "Greg, pinch it off! Like you got to get out here. It's happening."
That's hilarious.
And he like had to run out of the bathroom.
See, now you are the same age as my youngest daughter.
Yes, I am.
And
we like just realized that a couple weeks ago.
How was that?
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I caught her. Well, I caught her brother too, who's like 2 years older. Yeah.
No,
I caught them.
I thought
coming
he was going to say like I caught them like sneaking out of the house. No, he meant like I caught them.
No,
literally
I caught them.
Caught them.
if you mean coming out of the house means being born out of a vagina, that yes, I
and
caught
yes.
them. Yes, that's right.
That is crazy. Did you throw up?
No.
Did you want
neither
to?
Neither time. I was, you know me, and she'll back me up on this. I can be really charming when I want to be.
Yeah. You don't even fucking know.
But it's the
it's
opportunities
fleeting.
And the desire
it's
are. You have no idea. So.
I actually have benefited the most from his charm.
Yeah, I think so.
Of everyone.
Yeah.
On the planet ever. My point is. No, so I had a really good relationship. Well, my wife at the time and I had a very good relationship with her OBGYN, Margot. She was a great girl. I mean, she was a really fun girl.
I thought that conversation was going to stop with my wife and I had a really great relationship.
And I miss her dearly. No. I mean, she's a nice person. Never mind. My point is...
Everything was good when your kids were born.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm... Because I was eating a hot dog when my oldest daughter was born, I was not going to miss this one.
He was uber involved.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm at the things, and we're breathing, and we're doing the looking
face
at the
in it,
graphs. And
ready.
Let's not get carried away. And so my first son, who when
your,
he was
your only
my
son.
Only son. Give your father a call, will you, Griff? He was born, his story of him being born is hilarious because
it
he
is.
Was like 4 or 5 years old and we were at the dinner table one night and he
and
goes,
you know how kids love hearing the story of them being born.
Oh, they,
yeah.
He,
love
he,
it.
He especially loved it.
Yeah.
Because he was, it was almost entirely silent when he was born. He didn't make a noise.
He just was there.
And I said, yeah, you didn't say anything to anybody. And he was about 5 and he just thought for a second and he goes, well, you know why I didn't say anything? I go, no, because I didn't know anybody.
Is that not the sweetest?
Oh, my God.
I know. Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
And then my daughter was born, my baby girl.
Another story.
And she had the umbilical cord around her neck.
Yeah,
and I'm
scary.
Down there, and Margot, the OBGYN, is down there. We're down there, and we're in the catching position.
Doing work.
And
in the catching position.
And
oh, my God.
The mother had the episiotomy. You know
yeah,
what that is.
Yeah,
oh, boy.
Yeah.
That was
no fun.
Wild to see. Anyway, so.
I just saw my first episiotomy in the
I've
last
never.
Year.
Oh, God.
Yeah, keep going.
It looks like a really great special effect, didn't it?
It's terrifying.
So Ellie plops out, and I'm holding her, and I look at, and I know it's not, and I go, and she's purple.
Yeah.
And I go, is this, and pretty much and exactly like this.
And try not to terrify the mother.
Because, yeah, she's not. She's, you know, you're crying. You're giving birth. It's painful.
Yeah.
And, but she had, you know, all the latest whatever it was at the time. But it's still emotional, if nothing else. So I kind of go, hey, is this? And quick as anything, Margo goes, hang on a second. So she got scissors and cut the umbilical cord. And blood just went everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
On me, on the ceiling.
Like, does it squirt when you cut the umbilical
yep.
cord?
Yeah.
That's why
they usually
clamp it, right?
They clamp it on either side.
Well, she tried to clamp it. She clamped it and then cut it. You're right. But from what was in there. Just
but whoosh. It was so tight around her neck that there was a lot of pressure and it shot
so,
out.
And no noise from the baby, all this stuff, and then you get the is she okay from mm-hmm. mom and all this, and
all I'm, that scary,
all the scary horrible stuff, and I go she's purple and blue and but
she was okay.
Obviously she's
she came through.
Mouthy little thing now, so she's fine.
I
think the blood has drained from my face.
Yeah, it probably has.
Yeah, you're on the fence about having them babies, huh?
Mostly on the fence side that there are no babies.
She gets the fever like normal, like regular, but never to the point where she's like, we're having a baby.
Like, I was with a baby. I was with a baby Friday night. And she was holding onto my index finger. And I was like moving her finger, like snapping in a Z formation. And I was showing her how to go like, what's up, mamacita?
Yeah.
And she wasn't picking up on it. But she's also 3 months old. So I don't
know. There's that. Yeah. So I've had 2 children of my own.
And you've stolen 3.
I've had 2 children of my own, and unfortunately, I was too young to where my gynecologist had told me, like, I'll bring in a mirror, and you can grab the baby out of your vagina and pull it out.
No.
I wish now that I would have,
but
I was scared, and I didn't want to.
Isn't it funny, and I've always said this about
if I had a baby,
kids especially.
If I had a baby now, I'd be like, bring everybody in here. Like,
I feel
we're
like
all
now
gonna do it.
You would have a pool,
isn't
baby.
I would have
set
a pool,
up a
baby.
Pool.
You know what? I have a very high pain tolerance. I know that now.
I don't believe that.
With Max was a 23 and a half hour labor. It was like 5 hours of pushing and vomiting. So from the time my water broke, they give you 24 hours. And if the baby's not born in 24 hours from the time your water breaks, they go in and do an emergency C-section.
We're going in.
This little kid took 23 and a half hours to get here. Addie was a week.
Pushed for five
hours. I would
like,
push.
How do you physically have the energy?
I don't even remember. I would push and then I would vomit because I was pushing so hard that
I
would just puke.
That's the
that's just
the whole
how the body
metaphysical,
works.
Metaphysical. You know, she had to do it, so that's what she did.
Addie was a week late, so she was induced. And I actually had Addie without an epidural or anything because she came so fast after the induction.
And then she went right in the army.
Yeah, she's been gone ever since.
That's how different. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, so that's it. But I've seen 3 babies be born that aren't mine.
Yeah, no.
I saw my cousin have her baby and her son Waylon. I watched that and I was there and I held the knee and I did the whole thing. I coached. One of my best friends, Kristen, also watched her baby be born. I videotaped that.
No.
No, I didn't videotape. I took still pictures. I was there.
Who wants that? Who wants
to
see that?
It was her 3rd daughter, and I took Nikon. I had my big Nikon, took the pictures, did the whole thing. And
like, close up?
Yeah. Yeah, like, I had to put it on a CD and go, girlfriend, this is yours. I got to get this shit off my hard drive. And then in March, I watched my sister have a baby. Her husband and I, Dylan, were there with her. And my sister did not have an epidural and had a natural labor and had an episiotomy. And it was the most strength I had ever witnessed in a human being. It was insane.
I guess they do that during a contraction.
I text my brother and my other sister and I said, if you guys could see what I could see right now, you would have a whole nother respect for our sister right now.
Wow.
Like, I cannot even explain to you what's going on. But to see an episiotomy happen on another human being, like, it's a whole nother thing. I did not have an episiotomy. I massaged my perineum with olive oil every single day through both of my pregnancies.
Did you really?
In fear that I was going to have an episiotomy. I didn't want to.
You just
one.
Literally like stretch out your vagina,
that's
right?
What you're supposed to do, yeah.
To get it ready.
And I fortunately did not have to have an episiotomy with either one.
That's how different. So my mom, when she had me in 93, she didn't have any drugs either. She didn't do anything because my mom's sister was severely mentally and physically handicapped.
Right.
So she just had this like really weird fear. Like she doesn't want to put any like foreign medicine into her body. Yeah. Like, you know, she just was kind of freaked out about it. Her labor was 29 hours and she never lets me forget it. And I was 2 weeks late.
How much did you weigh?
A lot of weight. A lot. I think like 22 inches long.
8 pounds, 6 ounces.
Okay.
Does that sound right?
That sounds very healthy.
Yeah.
I just remembered how this started. I was going to tell you that my mother's famous story about my birth.
Oh.
I can remember her saying maybe 100 times to me, I almost died.
Yeah.
Having you.
Did she really though?
Legit? She's yes, no. She did. No. When I was born.
She would say that. She definitely didn't almost
in 1957,
die.
When you were born, you got ether. You were out. They went in. It was
they wanted you to be
the dad's
as
out
quiet
in the operating room. They kept you quiet.
Because I asked this question. I said, didn't they used to knock you out and then you'd wake up and have a baby?
Oh, yeah. And then you wake up with a baby laying on your chest.
Yeah.
And that was probably a giant advancement where they put the baby on your chest.
Best case scenario, yeah.
A lot of times they knock you out, you wake up, you're not pregnant anymore, and they wheel the baby back into you.
Uh-huh.
And they've been out, you've been out for a couple hours. Well, I mean, it was.
That's crazy.
It was nuts.
Yeah. Wait, how would you have the baby?
They
didn't
just
C-sections.
Just come out.
No, that's the other thing is that whether you're knocked out or not, your body naturally contracts and is
going to
push that baby out. So I really don't know.
I
want
to know what that looked like.
I'm kind of curious too, but I mean, I know that when I went into labor with Max, I was at a wedding the night before, and I was like, I was sitting there, buffet, yes, I'm eating it all.
All the things.
Yeah, and so I'm sitting there, and my friend Jenny, she's like, your belly is as hard as this table, and like knocks on the table, and I was like, it is, isn't it? I was like, I feel uncomfortable. I think I have heartburn. Like, what's going on? You know, and because that's what happens when you have a baby when you're 22.
Your belly hardens?
Yeah, that's the contraction. Your belly gets as hard as this.
So you were contracting that night and you didn't
know
it.
Full contractions.
Well, that's what makes
it's
the
like eight
water
or,
break, right? A contraction.
Yeah, so 8 or 9 o'clock, I'm having contractions the night before.
That's the sound it makes.
The next day, 1 or 2 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon, I lift a box, like baby box, we're moving stuff, we're getting ready for the baby. I lift the box, and I was like, oh, my God, I just peed everywhere. And I was like, shit. Go in my room, change clothes, put on another pair of velour pants because I had every color.
Nice.
I know. And put on another pair of pants, doing baby stuff, getting ready because my baby's due in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Baby's due in 2 weeks. Getting everything ready, very much nesting, lifting other things. What I think is urine, I pee again, and I'm like, God bless. Like, you got to be kidding me. Go in, change clothes again, come out. John looks at me, and he's like, how many times are you going to change pants? And in that moment, he says that, and I go, oh, my God, I'm not peeing. My water broke. And I looked at him, and I go, I think my water broke. And he sat down on the edge of the bed, and he goes, starts doing these breathing exercises, and I'm like, no, jerk. Like, my water broke. And he was like, I need a minute.
Yeah.
And I was like, you need a minute. And so we call the doctor, and I'm very, very fortunate now looking back and going, I labored a lot at home. I didn't have to be at the hospital. And so we go to the hospital. I labor again for 23 and a half more hours.
Oh my God. So you could have hung out at home for
could have hung out at home
20 hours.
And knowing what I know now, I would have.
Yeah.
I would have I showered. Mm-hmm. I did shower. I was like, I'm not going to the I'm not having this baby dirty. So I went and I showered and got everything ready because I thought I had 2 more weeks.
Oh my God.
And Max was born, and Max was almost 8 pounds.
Yeah.
And he was 2 weeks early.
That's wild.
So
he was
I think my due date was off.
Yeah. Maybe
because
a little bit.
He came out and he didn't have, like, you know how they have that white film on them and all these things?
Yeah.
He was No, you don't.
No, I don't.
He was like the most beautiful complexion. Like everything was perfect on this child. And he looked like a little, like a little Navajo baby. Like aww. He was black hair, dark complected. And then like in 2 weeks, he looked like his dad. And I was like, I don't know who this baby is. This is not my baby. Yeah.
My childhood best friend just had her first baby at the beginning of June. So I went and visited her. And she was telling me all about the birth. And I'm like, you know, trying not to pass out like usual. She had like the epitome of like childbirth.
Right.
She was like, I didn't feel good the night before. I woke up at 4 a.m. and I went to the bathroom. She was like, I went to the bathroom like a lot, like poop.
Right.
Like, she was like, I couldn't stop going to the bathroom.
Your body like knows expels. It's time and it gets rid of everything. Yeah.
So she's like, so I was up from 4 a.m. until about like 6:30. I wake up my husband. You know, I'm like, I don't feel very good. They're hanging out. It's like 7:30 and their doctor's office opens at 8. So they call the doctor and they're like, we'll come in at 8 for an appointment.
Right.
They come in at 8. She has the baby at 10:30.
Oh my gosh.
She said, I pushed like 4 times.
Oh.
Literally. She was, and she told me she had an episiotomy. She was like, yeah. And I said, did you die? Like, did you, like, yeah. Was that crazy? She was like, I didn't even feel it. She goes, I could literally have another baby. I could do that again 100 times. And oh. I was like, can't actually relate, but that's great for you.
I'm very envious.
How nice for you.
Yeah. I remember, so I have pictures and I took in my notes watching my sister give birth. And I kind of did this little mini diary entry of like, I would like, here's the time and this is what she said, and would take pictures with like that coordinated with the notes in my phone. And there were times where she was like, I think someone should probably call the doctor, like things like that, getting closer and closer.
Yeah.
But she would like, she'd have a contraction and she would just sit up really straight and close her eyes and kind of squint a little. And then she'd just... And then it would be over. And
she, wouldn't even make a noise?
No noise. I looked at her husband, and he looked at me, and he texted me. We're 5 feet from each other in the same room, and he goes, she's making this shit look so easy. I'm going to have 10 kids. Like, he was terrified. Oh, and no. I was like, yeah, this is not gonna go well for you. And so, yeah, it was funny. But, yeah, she just, it ended up. It got serious at the end.
Yeah.
It got, like, it was go time. And, but she did it all, like, she did it without anything.
Did she have to hold her own legs?
No, Dylan had a leg and okay, I had a leg. But she also had a doula. She had a doula that was there.
Okay, because my childhood best friend, she told me
whole thing.
They made her hold her own legs.
There's a lot of doctors that suggest that because it kind of connects the mind and body. Like, you're working. Okay. You're doing this.
Yeah.
You don't get help. Like, you got to feel all of it.
Yeah.
And that's also why they'll roll a mirror in front of you so you know what you're working towards. Like, you see the head crown and you're like, okay, that's how close you are.
Like,
how
hard are you going to push?
Yeah. So I think that's a part of it.
Because she said the next day she woke up and she said, my legs were so sore.
Like doing squats. Because
she was pushing against her own arms so hard.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have stirrups or anything for her.
No.
I was like, that sounds miserable.
No, I remember my sister. At one point, I was like, her knee is by her ear.
Yeah.
Her knee is by her ear.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure my knee has been by my ear, but that was some freaky shit that we don't need to talk about right now.
Different time, different place.
Yeah. Different time, different place. But I was just
and then
like,
you go, motherfucker, my knee's by my ear. Settle down.
I'm going to need you to back up.
Calm down.
Yeah.
We'll get this done. Calm down.
Exactly. All right. That was baby talk on the Chick Lee show.
All right. I can't wait to see the tweets about this. I didn't know it was going to get into a reproductive rant.
I know.
My point was...
Jess on the attack.
This is how life is.
Yeah, it's all the
things. When you're supposed to be...
Who hashtag chick makes me smile?
Ooh, I haven't seen that one.
Chick, C-H-I-C.
Oh.
Chic makes me smile.
Yeah, what is that?
It was cute. I liked it.
Yeah, but
why
would you misspell chick?
I don't think they did it on purpose.
It's like chicken.
They didn't do it.
It's a fake name, and it's like
not on purpose.
Chicken.
Not okay, do you know that that's how Chick introduces himself to people, and it makes me crazy.
Like, you legitimately
does it really?
Do that.
Chick,
why does it make
like
you crazy?
Chicken. That's why what he says.
Or chick, hi. Like how it's spelled.
Why does
like,
that make you crazy?
I don't know. I don't like it.
Well, because there's like no chicken? Other way to spell chick.
I know. I guess that's why it bothers me. But I also...
There's only
I
one
also
person...
I also introduce him as Charles most of the time.
There's only one person in of anyone who calls me chic, and I let him get away with it. And who? This is a true story.
Who?
Reggie Miller.
Oh.
He's always called me chic. Chic.
Oh.
And I go, okay, yeah, you're fine. And then he kissed me on the neck.
Are you?
And I kiss him on
the
neck. Every time he was on the show. Yeah.
That. There, no.
Yep.
What?
He sure
the
did.
Hell?
If
what?
If Reggie would walk in here right now, he'd go, chic, and I'd kiss him on the neck, and he'd kiss me on the neck.
I'm going to have to
who
see
started
a...
kissing who on the neck?
I'm pretty Maybe sure he started
is...
me.
Is that a black guy thing?
I think so.
Or it's where the bus stop story started, maybe. I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe, I don't know.
How does he kiss you on the neck?
Like
where? Like, show like, me in the vicinity.
Like here.
Like you would kiss someone on the neck when you're making love.
No. It's like a Frenchman's like a... thing, but it's like not on the cheek,
no,
but on the neck.
No, a Frenchman like kisses somewhere between your high cheekbone and like your, what is this?
Jaw.
And your jaw.
Here's the thing.
That's where French people kiss.
As sure as I'm sitting
Caitlin,
here,
help me.
Reggie
when
Miller.
When I meet people, I just walk up to them and lick their cheek. So I don't really know.
Reggie
Miller
is going to be sitting in that chair one of these days on this podcast, and you're going to go, by God, you did. You kissed him right on the neck.
Well, motherfucker better kiss me on the neck, too.
Here
That's
I am.
That's all I'm saying.
Here I am.
He's cute. He's but you know what? I can't judge because
he's got them babies.
Joe Theismann always kisses me.
It was Joe's birthday Saturday. Did you celebrate?
Why didn't he come kiss me for his birthday?
I wished him a happy birthday from all of us.
Also, we probably should maybe get some airline tickets. Find out what game we're going to.
Yeah,
like, we need to get on that.
I need to know if I need to order Redskins gear. Also, I've decided I think I'm going to be a Packers fan.
I'm going to do it.
Come on.
I watched bits and pieces of the Bears game yesterday, and I was like, they fucking
that
blow.
That was terrible.
That
was rough. Yeah, because Max is a Falcons fan.
Yeah, okay.
So I had to sit there, and Max is like, where's your bear stuff?
Where's your bear
I wore
stuff?
A bear sweatshirt yesterday, actually.
Right? So John was wearing a Raiders hat. Addie was wearing a Cowboys shirt. Max was wearing his Falcons Zubaz.
Yes.
I was asleep on the couch and had nothing on.
I've gotten a little shit because Addie's a Cowboys fan.
Addie is a Cowboys fan.
And
but that's a lesson
in
life.
I think, and no, this will tell you all you need to know about me and Addie.
Okay.
How many pieces of Cowboys merchandise have I purchased?
I think two.
And who were they for?
They were for Addie.
Yeah. That Addie. Tells you all you need to know.
Yeah. So I'm just, but I don't, I'm without a team.
Honestly, just come to the Packers. The game was great yesterday.
It was a good game.
Nope. It was a good game yesterday.
Here's the thing.
Come to the Redskins.
Has
Joe Theismann.
You look great in green and yellow.
Thank you.
I
look great in like deep
maroon. You look
maroon
great in burgundy.
Too. Burgundy.
I look great in you look great in burgundy. I look great in burgundy.
Like deep colors.
That's what bothers me. The 49ers or the Chiefs or the Redskins. Like I feel like that's where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Also,
I grew up a Bears fan cuz my dad was a Bears fan and that's how you are. I also am a huge Warren Sapp fan. I love Warren Sapp.
Really?
Yes. So I'm kind of a Buccaneers fan.
You know, Warren Sapp was involved in an altercation with two prostitutes in his room. You realize that, right?
I'm not angry about that because as soon as prostitution is legal, I will become a house mom and I will run that. I will unionize it and they will make the money they deserve is all I'm saying.
How much of a cut are you going to take?
We will negotiate those things. I am open. I am open. I'm going to give them a safe place to work. And that is how it will go.
She's a down ass bitch.
It's time for Caitlin's music to go
out
into the
good
world
one.
With.
Girl,
I've got a good
cut?
One. Tracy Chapman. Give me one reason.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Fast Car.
I feel like you're like very disappointed in my song of the week.
No, I'm not disappointed. When I hear Tracy Chapman, I listen to Fast Car on a CD over and over again the first time I skip school.
That's adorable.
Drove
first
to
time
Ohio
I skipped
State
school,
school,
I went to Cirilla's and bought a
G-spot
vibrator.
Your story is way better than mine.
Before we get to Tracy Chapman,
uh-huh.
Give me one reason. Have you heard this version of Fast Car?
Ooh. Ding, 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 ding. I drove to the Ohio State line the first time I skipped.
Did you really?
Yep. I was so sad. My boyfriend at the time had messed around with another girl and I left school.
Car.
And drove to
That's awful.
It was terrible.
Who is this?
Maybe together we can get Ryan Montbleu.
That's not his real name.
Montbleu.
That's pretty close. He almost sounds like Tracy Chapman.
Yeah.
It's a little slower, a little more soulful, believe it or not.
It's not that different, though. It sounds like a live version.
Great fucking song.
She's great. You got a fast car.
I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at a convenience store. Is he harmonizing with himself?
It does seem a little bit obsessive. Self-obsessive, doesn't it?
If he's not, it's another male. It sounds okay. Into the city, you and I can both get jobs. Finally see
what it means to be living. Okay, now here's Tracy.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
A little quicker, but...
I love her.
Yeah, this is pretty badass. Uh-huh.
Tracy Chapman, Mary Chapin Carpenter.
This will be great.
I thought I was a lesbian
this song,
for a long time.
Say what you want, this song will be great forever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove.
I can't listen to the chorus. I'm drunk enough to start crying. So.
Okay, let's not. Let's play Caitlin's cut.
Yes, let's
give
do that.
Give me one reason, baby.
What's the year on this?
Yeah, what is the year?
1992. 95.
Damn.
You were.
I thought it was early 90s, and then I was like, wait, was it
mid?
Wait a minute,
you were 4 years old.
I was 2 years old.
2 years old.
I was going to say, but this song went for a while.
I remember the song playing on the radio. Yeah. Legitimately. On 101.5.
Yeah. Okay, so
I'm working on. I'm trying to work on this one so I can sing it at karaoke.
Okay.
Oh,
I really
my goodness.
Am. I really
we
am.
Could do.
That's
I'm
right.
good at harmonizing. I'm not good at
Give
singing alone.
Really?
Yeah. Here, and I'll turn right back around.
No shit.
Oh. I love when the drums come in.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around.
Sounds like you're being contrarian. Difficult.
Said I don't want to leave you lonely. You gotta make me change my mind.
Here come the drums. It's just
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, I know that you got mine.
Yeah. There it is.
You know that I called you. I called too many times. Call me. Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. You can see me turning. Give me one reason to steer.
Is this what you sang when you won your major award? Karaoke?
It's not. Listen, this is a long story. And it needs some setup, okay?
Okay.
Are you with me?
Wait, do it. Let's do it.
Are you with me?
Yes. We're with you. Yeah. Go.
So we go to a little bonfire at a apartment complex. Mm-hmm. This is how the night started. At about 9:30 at night, Matt and I head over. I bring myself a little bean blossom peach hard cider.
Go, girl.
He brings a pack of beers. We're sitting there. We're with a couple of his friends, one of which who has the baby. I was hanging out with the baby, but it didn't cry, so I was very happy. It's also a girl, so she. And a couple of other people who we never met, but they were very nice. So this is how the night started. We're drinking a little bit. We're hanging out. Something catches my eye across the apartment complex. I'm like, what is that? And I look up and it is a man throwing a woman onto a bed. And I was like, this is either a domestic dispute or these people are about to fuck with the lights on and the windows totally open.
Damn.
So I go,
which one was it?
Are they about to have sex? And everyone turns around and we're watching and they're like, oh my God, they're having sex.
Oh, good for them.
Okay. So imagine like the head of the bed is against a giant window.
That's an odd place for a bed.
Hmm. And then the lights are just on.
So what do you see? You just see him throw her on the bed and then
and
you
then
see him.
And then he's on top of her, her arms like wrapping around his neck, Ooh. Like doing some weird shit with her legs.
Nice.
So then one of the girls who we're with, is like, I gotta go get a closer look to this. She gets up, she walks over, and she's like standing like in front of this apartment complex. Like
people are into that sometimes.
And she's like watching them. She's in a bright pink sweatshirt. So I think they spotted her. They shut the blinds. So we were really upset. She comes back. She was like, they weren't having sex. I think they were dry humping. And I was like, people still do that?
Right.
Question mark.
Adults still do
that? Yeah. So that's how the night started.
You dry hump before you realize how pregnancy works.
You dry hump before you like are like a ready. Whore.
Right. Well, I mean dry, but you know what? I am not opposed to public dry humping.
Well, no. Why would you be opposed to it? Of course
I'm
not.
Because like you're in a concert and there's some rubbing and there's some things and then
wherever
like,
the
not full
yeah.
dry hump. But like, you know.
Like dry humping is very 15 years old.
When you're 36, dry humping is kind of okay sometimes.
Okay. So Jess is a huge proponent of dry humping. So
unless you're wearing corduroys.
Oh, that would hurt, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Like very little chafing action.
Corduroys were very in when I was in high school.
Oh no. Oh yes. No.
I thought you were too removed from anything happening in the conscious world to enjoy a dry hump when you were in high school.
I mean, I was on a lot of antidepressants, but I still enjoyed a good dry hump.
That was a very interesting Instagram post you had about how many kids think it's cool to be, I'm depressed, I'm dark, I'm mysterious.
I did that because I didn't have another identity. Mm-hmm. So I just thought, you know what? I'm actually taking antidepressants. I'm going to embrace this.
Yeah.
You know what, though? That does a disservice to those of us who are really depressed. We get a bad label thinking, you're just fucking around.
Hey, and I don't know. I thought I was depressed at the time. My dad thought I was depressed at the time. But like I said, I think I was just going through puberty and nobody knew what to fucking do with me.
Yeah. Right.
Because as we all know, I'm extra, so if you can imagine 15-year-old Jess going through puberty, it's a fucking nightmare. That's true.
I can't imagine.
You know what? We're probably all about to get a taste, because Addie Hooker is going to just blow me out of the water.
Yeah. But she's so cute, though.
So you went to sing karaoke.
Watching people dry hump in an apartment complex. So we're getting ready to leave, and Matt's sister texts us and was like, hey, I'm at a bar close to you. Do you want to come say hey?
Oh.
I had plans to do yard work on Saturday morning. I was going to wake up early and work. So we were like, hey, we're getting ready to get out of here.
You're going
to
be a responsible young adult.
Yeah. I was like, I got to wake up early. So we leave. We drive over to this little bar. That's very close to where Matt and I live. And like literally it was going to be a thing where we like stopped in, said hey, and then went home.
Right.
We pull into the parking lot.
Uh-oh.
And my phone's dead because my phone just dies all the time now. And Matt goes, oh my God. I said, what? And he said, Shannon just texted us and said there's karaoke.
Let's go!
So I'm like geeked now. I'm like, I whipped that thing into the parking lot. I'm like, let's go. We got to get inside. I got to start pounding vodka sodas so I can get on stage. We walk inside, order 3 double vodka sodas right off the bat, chug all 3 of them.
Yummy.
Get on stage. I sing Lady Gaga, You and I. I think I did a very good job, if I do say so myself, but I wasn't quite drunk enough to sing it yet. Then Matt and I get on stage and sing I Believe in a Thing Called Love by The Darkness.
I love that.
That's it. Matt, don't let Matt fool you. Matt hates attention. He hates getting on stage. But if I get drunk enough and beg him, he'll come on stage and do that song with me. He slays. He's so good at that song.
Oh,
he can sing. He really can
sing.
So we get on stage, sing that. Then we realize, oh, there's a karaoke contest. It's not like the best singer award, because like I definitely would have won that.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you go on stage, you get a ticket. And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, they draw from like the other set of identical.
It's a karaoke raffle.
Yeah. And they draw. And if you win, you get a $50 gift certificate. So we're sitting there. I'm watching. There's a black couple there who are doing duets, like legitimate duets. They're amazing. The black guy of the couple goes on stage and he sings the song from South Park that the chef sings about like suck on my chocolate salty balls.
Yeah.
Kills it. He's so good. A woman goes up and she's singing some other like country songs, and it's 1 o'clock now and it's time for the raffle. And so I have 3 tickets in front of me, 1 from my song, 2 from one Matt and I sang. And the guy's like, okay, here's the number, 616-770.
You remember that?
I don't know how.
Boom.
616-770. That's me. I throw my arm up in the air. I run on stage. I drop it low like 6 times. I wrap my leg around a pole that's in front of me.
Oh.
If I can just comment, Caitlin's ability to drop it at any moment is a gift from God.
So I'm dancing on stage. I'm grinding on this pole in front of me. It's not a pole. I don't want to say it's a pole from the ceiling, but it's like just a, I don't know, a banister, I guess you could call it. And
could be a load bearing support for the entire structure. Yeah.
So I won the $50 gift card, but we realized I had the tickets 616-669 and 616-770 from when Matt and I went on stage together, and the 770 won. So without Matt, I would not have won the karaoke contest. So I was like, "See, babe, we just got a $50 gift card." Some other crazy things that happened that night were I met a woman named Andrea who was very drunk.
Oh, God.
I said, "What's up, girl? We're talking. We're good friends." She's flitting around the bar talking to everybody. All of a sudden, she's in her seat crying.
You know that you're like, you know my mom. That was my mom, right?
That was not your mom. Okay, yes, I know your mom.
Okay, just making sure. So my mom's around. Name is Andrea.
I know.
Everything you're saying sounds eerily familiar.
Well, hopefully this part doesn't sound familiar. Okay. So she's crying. I turn around. I'm like, "Andrea, what's up, girl?" She said, "I have had a shithole of a year." I said, "I get it. Like, what's up?" She said, "My ex-husband died in April. A few weeks later, my daughter's dog died from congestive heart failure. A few weeks after that, my fiance shot and killed himself."
Oh, my God.
"And a few weeks after that, my cat died." And I was like, "That's a really fucked up year, actually."
That's
Andrea.
Nuts.
So she's crying. I'm like, "I don't even know you." So I kind of like patted her on the arm and just like slowly turned around. Cause like what do you say?
Right.
She gets on stage, like probably 5 minutes later, sings "Before He Cheats" by Carrie Underwood.
Get it.
She's killing it.
Yeah.
In the middle of a breakdown, in the middle of the song, she goes, "Both of mine are dead, so it doesn't even matter."
Oh.
And wow. I went, "Holy shit." And Matt is hysterical. I go, "No, Matt, legitimately, her ex-husband died and her fiance killed himself." And he goes, "Oh, shit.
That's a true story."
Like, this is real.
No.
So if you want to get wild at the 86th Street Pub, That's where you go on Friday nights. 86th
Street
Pub. We might have to
Friday
do that.
Night.
Yeah.
So
Andrea will be there every Friday night.
Okay, I might have to go this Friday because I wake up on Saturday morning at 8:07 to a text from Kate that came in at 1:21 a.m. Says Jess. Actually, and it's from Matt's cell phone.
Because
it's
my phone was dead.
Yes.
My phone was dead.
Jess, period. It's Kate. "I just won $50 at 86th Street Pub for singing karaoke. We have to come here on Fridays. Love you, XO." So that's when I was like, all right, I know where I'm going to be next Friday.
1:20 in the morning. And I sent that text and I was like, she's not going to be awake because it's 1:20 in the morning on a Friday night. So yeah, okay. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Talked to a guy. Two older men were like, "Baby girl, you're so beautiful." And I said, "You better be careful because my man's over there." And ended up talking to one of these guys for like 15 minutes. He comes, sings every Friday night.
Yeah.
2016, he won 15 times. And this year alone, he's already won 11 times. Because, like, nobody comes.
Whoa.
Like, not that many people come. So
you
go and you
karaoke?
Have a great chance.
Probably.
What would you sing?
Oh, gosh. That's a tough one.
Really?
I don't know. See, I had this song all ready to go.
Okay, let's hear it.
Hey, motherfucker, hey, motherfucker, hey, 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 motherfucker, hey.
What is this?
I have no idea.
You don't know Cheeky Black?
I don't. Can't say I do.
No, but thanks.
Does that sound like Nicki Minaj?
No.
Sounds kind of like Azealia Banks, if anything.
Okay.
Sorry. I would probably, one more time with the motherfuckers. That's the kind of show this has been.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Do it, do it, do it. Maybe I'd sing this. Do it, do it, do it. Cheeky,
no, you can sing.
I would probably, boy. Oh, Footsteps.
Okay, who's that?
Pearl Jam. Oh, yeah. James chilling.
I'm trying.
see where he is.
Don't even think about reaching me. I won't be home. Don't even think about stopping by. Don't think of me at all.
Really? That's what you would choose?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Okay.
Oh dear, what I had to do. If there was a reason, it was you.
I haven't either.
Are you shitting me?
No.
No, I'm so sorry.
I know Pearl Jam songs.
This has got blood on the iPad.
I don't know this one. I'm so sorry.
Oh, 8 more minutes.
Okay.
Don't even think about getting inside. Voices in my head.
Yeah.
Oh, voices. Oh, I got scratches all over my arms. One for each day.
Yes.
You've been apart.
You're doing great.
Oh, dear. What I had to do. If there was a reason, it was you. A voice in my home. It was you.
Yes.
You.
You're doing great. I'm not making fun.
You're picking fun.
No, I'm not.
You're doing great means you're really doing great.
I don't mean that mean.
It's just really? A song I like. It's not about anything. That's the Chick McGee Show for this week. And if anybody repeats that I just did that, I'll deny it. Okay.
Was this a long episode?
Oh, yeah. It's almost 2 hours.
Oh, God.
Kate Kopetsky on all social media. Jess Hooker _ on Instagram. The Jess Expo on Twitter. Thank you, Eddie. Good night, everybody.